Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
Ben.
And John.
And Kerflooey! It's... Sorry, I couldn't do it.
You're not going to make that work. Stop trying to make Kerflooey work, Dave.
All right, let's start over.
No, don't leave it.
Just keep going.
All right.
We'll fix it in post.
Like we always do.
We'll do it live.
So it is now 2016. And...
I've been told.
Yeah, so we decided to do something a little special to start off the year. Something a little different than our normal show. Yes, we did a look back on 2015 at the end last year, but that was more of like...
It was more navel-gazing than really outward-looking.
Yes, yes.
That's right. When everybody's looking forward, we look back.
It was more stroking our own egos. I understand. Yeah. So, what we've decided to do is in the vein of the Oscars and the Emmys and the Golden Globes, we bring.
By the way, we have no licensing to mention those award shows whatsoever. So just pretend we're talking about people.
Yes, yes.
I'd like to know who Golden Globes is.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't you now?
I used to date his sister, so yeah.
His?
Oh, yeah. Globes could be one of two things, guys.
Never mind.
Moving on.
Never mind.
We bring you the first ever Superhero Speak Speakies.
Tonight will be the TV edition.
Yes. And this week we're doing the TV edition. And then we'll do the movie edition at a later date, most likely next week. And I have to thank Ben. This was his idea. And of course, in the vein of, we're not just going to do the best show, best actor, best actress. No. That wouldn't be our style, would it?
Not at all.
We also are going to be looking at the worst show and the worst hero.
And many other interesting categorizations.
Yes, especially the ones that we come up with right now.
We're not making this all up as we go along, people. Just most of it.
I will say, though, the award for snarkiest co-host should go to John.
Oh, yes, I definitely. He's the only nominee on the list, I think, this year.
I think so, yes.
Thank you. You know, as you throw your both your hats in the ring, you know.
So to get that started, and this here's the very first award is the typical what we're talking about with the kind of awards we're giving out, and of course the award is Unseen, and of course that is the prize for the best character death of 2015. And of course we'll start with our first nominee. We're going to talk about each nominee a little bit. Eddie Thawne from The Flash.
So in case any of you didn't remember this pivotal event from the end of season one, Eddie Thawne sacrificed himself in a surprise move as a means to basically destroy the Reverse Flash, who was about to destroy our hero, The Flash, and basically save the day by ending his own life.
Right. So we got two deaths for the price of one.
Yes.
They did, unfortunately, cut the scene out right before he pulled the trigger of where he checks his contract to make sure that he gets, you know, in at some point in the future in a flashback or something.
Oh, no, I think it was because he already signed a contract to be on another show, and therefore he had that nice out now. Clean break.
It's actually an interesting point, though, that John brings up is that they have brought back one character who died at the end of last season through an Earth 2 loophole, and it's funny that they haven't brought him back. Yeah. You know, even just for one episode, of course, you know. We'll have to see. You know, we still have half a season to go. We'll see what happens. And of course, our next nominee, and we have our next two nominees are from the same show, and we're of course talking about Reyna from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And this again was Ben's pick, and I have to ask why you picked this as a good death.
It was again a voluntary sacrifice on her part. It was the reason I picked Reyna, also known as the girl in the flower dress, is because she had been such a nefarious character for all of season one and most of season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But she came post transformation, post going to the whatever the hidden city was that the Inhumans lived in. I forget what they called it. You know, having that spending that time there and understanding her abilities more, she had sort of come around, and she and Daisy were coming to a more agreeable stance with each other. And it was because of her foresight, not just in general, but her as the ability of foresight, that she realized where things were going with Skye's mother, that she realized that she needed to expose things, and she sacrificed herself for that reason, so that Skye could see the dark side of her mother.
See, I kind of disagree with that, because all the way through all of this, Reyna was what you'd call a true believer, and I'm, you know, not like using that as a, you know, Stan Leeism, but it's yeah.
It
but
fits,
seriously,
though,
she was pretty much psychotic in her belief that she was special and things revolved around her. And so, you know, sacrificing herself to save everything fit right nicely in with her, you know, inner view of herself as the person who made the most difference and was the most important thing in the world and was special. So it's. I don't think she did it as something that was altruistic or self-sacrificial. I think it was her just trying to prove that she was right all along and that she was more important than everybody else.
Well, that may be true. First of all, any self-sacrificing death is inherently to some small degree altruistic. You cannot be selfish in, well, I take that back.
Mm-hmm.
When you're martyring yourself for a cause,
mm-hmm.
It's difficult to classify that as a selfish act. There are very few cases where that term fits. And yes, you were right. She has always been, you know, she has always been true to her beliefs and to her loyalties. It's just we weren't sure what they were the entire time, and it was
no, they
only
were to
time,
her. That's just to
they,
her.
They were self-serving, but they weren't purely self-serving. There were other motives that she served. She was serving, you know, Cal's motives for a lot of that time. And, you know, basically working along with or around S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra both to meet needs that she felt were a greater good or more important goal than either of them seemed to see. And yes, it may have come off as evil at times and overstepping, but isn't that the true form of villainy, really? Is it's no one sees themselves as the villain. No one goes out there and says, I'm going to be, you know, an evil, you know, doer of evil things. You know, they go out there with ambition, with a goal, and they get blinded by that goal to the point where they don't see the negative things that they're doing in pursuit of that goal.
Yeah,
or they don't see the negative things as negative. They
right,
see
they
it
rationalize
as necessary.
Them.
Right,
mm-hmm. right.
You know, it's interesting. The flip side. Well, the difference between Eddie's death and Reyna's death, though, is like Reyna's was foreshadowed. You know, in her visions.
Yes.
Where Eddie's, I think, was a complete shock. Like no one saw that twist coming at the end of Flesh.
Right.
You know,
no,
where
comparatively they were very different.
Right.
I think the point, though, and the reason that I put it on this list is because it was a pivotal moment in this show, in the plot point that moved the show in a direction. You know, whatever her motivations were, whatever foreshadowing there was to it, her death changed the next moments in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It changed the momentum.
Right. Oh, I'll give that to you. I mean, to play devil's advocate to myself, because I'm not screwed up enough, I would say that, you know, it was a good character death, even though the reasons might not have been altruistic in I'll help these people, but in being self-centered and saying, look, see, I am the most important person. I shall sacrifice myself. But it was still a good written death. You know, it was abrupt. It was, it changed the whole plot. It was good. So I'll give it that.
Yeah.
Now, to go to our third and final nominee in the category.
He deserved it.
Yes. This is this was
way overdue.
Overdue. It wasn't so much shocking as satisfying when it finally happened.
Yeah.
And then they brought him back.
And of course we're speaking of Ward.
Right away. Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D.
So Grant Ward finally had his comeuppance at the, you know, the mid-season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. towards the end of, what was that, in December? Or yes, late November. Only to for us to see him walk back on Earth. But he's no longer himself. He is right. Definitely, it's Ward. The Ward we know is dead. So that is complete. It's just his body's walking around with another, yeah, as a host to something.
Probably.
Probably much worse.
No. I mean, he's probably gone.
Probably, yes.
Well, and that's
I think it's a pretty strong chance, yes.
Well, you know, the difference being that, yeah, he might have been dead for like a minute or two before death took him over, which is more than enough time for his brain to have not have died, or it's just he could still be in there.
So you're writing the MacGuffin to bring him back to life at the end of the season.
No, no, this isn't a MacGuffin. This is he wasn't brain dead. You know, the thing took him over really quick, which means that, you know, his personality, Ward himself, could still be in there, just suppressed right now.
Well, the impression I've gotten so far with the little bits we have to understand this being that is taken over him is that this creature has driven every other person who's been sent to this world to either kill each other or kill themselves. And I believe that part of that is because it cannot play guest to a living host. I don't think it can coexist in a conscious living host. It can use their mind and their memories and their and know about their feelings and things, but they have to have died.
Right. It's like a parasite living on, but has to live on like dead tissue.
All right. Right. Well, in the you know, interest of moving on, we can argue that more, but as we've all said, it was a good death and overdue, and one right. that you actually kind of cheered.
Right, because once they flipped the switch and revealed Ward was Hydra all along at the end of the first season, they could have gone one of two ways with it. They could have given him an opportunity to redeem himself at some point. Mm-hmm. And come back to S.H.I.E.L.D. or have him go down a very dark path. And of course, they chose the latter.
Yeah.
No, they chose the third option. Put Fitz and Simmons on the bottom of the ocean. That was, that's the third option. That's like evil. No, I'll show you something, pal. And
right.
Let me take the two most beloved characters and try to off them.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he justified that he was trying to save them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, so we've got these three guys, and yes. How are we going to do this? We're just going to
let's
one, two, three, shoot, or rock, paper, scissors, which, you know, given this is a podcast, it's kind of hard, but
why don't we each make our vote, and whoever wins, unless we have a three-way tie, which would just be dumb, but let's each pick a winner, and whoever gets two votes wins.
Okay. All right.
We'll start with you, John.
I vote Han Solo. No, sorry. Right. Because that wasn't a good death. Let's see. Technically, I'll go with Eddie Thawne, because you didn't want him to end up with Iris, because he just kind of skeeved me out. But you didn't want him to end up with her, and yet for him to cash his chips out like a baller. I mean, that that you're sitting there like, I don't want him in the character. I don't want him to be a character anymore. But damn, that was awesome. And yeah, I pick Eddie Thawne.
Because he skews you out. Okay. Ben, your vote.
I'm actually going to agree with John, with Eddie. I was going to pick Eddie as well. And similar reasons, because yes, you're right. Not the skeevy part per se. But you're right in that the problem with Eddie is he was a very likable character. He was very nice. He was great to Barry and to the Flash once he found out about him. He was a great guy, even to Iris. But at the same time, you knew he couldn't be there. You knew he had to have an exit somehow. And any other exit almost felt like it would have been unfair. And for him to go out as the hero this way was probably the best possible exit for him to have. As unfortunate as it is, because he was such a nice guy, I think it was a great exit for him, and it did come out of left field. I thought that was the best, what made it one of the best deaths in, you know, superhero television, that he took that move and no one saw it coming.
And it really helped the writers lock down that love triangle thing for another season, so that, you know, because, you know, Iris is still in mourning now. Yeah, so they don't have to deal with that for a while.
So there you have it. I am going to vote for Eddie as well, and it wouldn't have mattered because it would have been 2-1 anyway. So there you go, Eddie Thawne. We're sorry you're no longer with us, but congratulations. You are the first recipient of the Superhero Speakies for 2015. We'll put it on your grave later.
Yes.
So
the bad news is you're dead. The good news is, well, you're dead. So
our next category is Say What?
So this is a prize for best twist.
Yes, best surprise twist in a television show. And
also known as the Shyamalan Prize.
So again, we have three nominees for this category. Those are Joe West finding out he has a son, Andrew turning out to be Lash in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and another paternity issue, Oliver Queen having a son on Arrow.
Well, you could also add more paternity to that, like Kylo Ren was Han Solo's son.
John,
get over it.
Sorry.
Do you want to do another review episode of The Force Awakens? Is that what you're getting at?
No, because I've already heard enough from Twitter and all. I've already heard enough from certain people about that. Thank you.
Yes. Twitter had fun with you.
Okay, so anyway, yes, Joe West, Andrew of Agents and Flash, and Oliver Queen. So what is this, a Maury Povich special? It's all about the...
well, okay, so let's, I guess, Ben, you're saying let's speed this up in the interest of time, all right?
I've just figured we present all the nominees and we can talk about them.
Okay.
As much as we feel we need to. But I don't think we need to go one by one and belabor each one.
Right. Well, let's start a little bit with Joe West finding out, obviously, he's a father. And, of course, he's a father to Wally West, which...
Which we should have seen coming, really. I mean, it follows the canon of the comics that Iris's stepbrother is Wally West. So, or not stepbrother, half-brother.
Right.
So it really shouldn't have surprised anyone, but it did sort of, they did drop that as a bombshell on us, you know, like middle of the second half or the first half of the second season.
Yeah. Congratulations, Joe. It's a baby speedster.
Right. And it did feel, I mean, it was a surprise to me because it feels a little early to introduce Wally into this world.
Well, we don't know if they're introducing Wally that actually is going to be a speedster anytime soon. So I don't think it's too soon per se. I do think they could have gone a little younger with him. But I have no problems with the choice that they made there as far as, you know, the casting, I guess, is fine. I don't know enough about the actor to discount him. And we've only seen him for about 3 minutes. So
that is true. Yes. Again, this was the twist at the end of the season,
at the mid-season
finale. Yeah, mid-season finale. So we're waiting to see where they go with it. Of course, we've seen some of the clips for the upcoming episodes, and they did show he's going to be in the episode. We'll see what happens with that.
Cool.
The Andrew with being Lash thing took me by surprise, and it was one of those things, after they revealed it, it was like, well, wait a minute, has he been Lash for a long time, or did this happen just recently? You know, it took me by surprise. Right. And they've gone interesting directions with the character at this point.
Yeah, and the way they've established it, it seems like it's at least been since, it's been throughout the entire first half of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at least part of the intervening period between the end of last season and this season, like somewhere during that time when he and May, you know, rode off into the sunset together.
Right.
That event happened that turned him, and he hasn't been the same since.
Right. And it's interesting because it was a instinct over intellect type of situation. When he would transform into Lash, he would have an instinct to rip out people's hearts.
Right. It was a very Jekyll and Hyde type thing. And there was apparently some sort of hunger behind it, which I believe I predicted, but I'm not going to belabor that point.
So it wasn't a surprise for you. Is that what you're saying?
Who it was is not. Oh, it was a surprise. The nature of it was not a surprise.
Right, right. And John was so surprised by it, he's speechless right now.
Not really, no.
And, of course, our other paternity situation here, which...
Again, should not have been a huge surprise, being that it's canon. But they went really far to try to lead us off the trail of thinking that that was going to come out that way. And then they dropped it on us as, oh, yeah, he's got a son. And he's like 10.
Right. Well, and I don't have an issue with that. My issue was was just the whole way that his mother was with it. Like, don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Keep this completely secret. And, of course.
I chalk that up to Arrow writing in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has its weak moments.
Ah. It seems like we're missing a show off of one of our other categories.
I mean, it's not exactly Supergirl, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah. And it is one of the reasons I've kind of dropped off the Arrow wagon a little bit. I watch it here and there. I mainly watch it with the crossover episodes with Flash. But, yeah.
I don't think it's that bad, but.
But I mean, it's one of those realistic kind of things. Like, if he's really in love with Felicity, he's going to tell her no matter what the mother said, you know?
Right. I find that whole weird dramatic gambit kind of trite. And I hope that, yeah, I hope you're right, Dave. I hope he does tell her, and it doesn't become yet another point of drama in the relationship, because those, we had enough of those. So yeah, again, the son was, I would say the son was a bit of a surprise, but it was also the events around the whole son thing was I think more of the interesting twist, like the whole that there was time travel involved and that Barry had to keep Arrow from making things go in a very bad direction, which seemed stemmed around this whole paternity issue.
Right. So let's go around the room and pick our favorite surprise of 2015. Now, and the thing is, there, I'm sure people are out there right now screaming, what about this on this show and this on that show?
There are probably lots. Like, these shows are all about the melodrama. There's always these surprise twists. And we just picked the ones that stuck out in our minds.
Right. Not only stuck out in our minds, but in our minds had the biggest impact on the shows, you know, and also kind of at this point have an impact we have yet to see, really. You know, a little bit with Lash, but we're still dealing with him. So we'll start with you.
I was going to say, and next year when we do this again, we'll have had the entire year to think about what we're watching other shows, not just the Marvel and DC stuff.
Right.
Well, there will be more shows for us to take in as well.
All right, Ben. So we'll start with you this time. You pick your favorite surprise moment.
I'm going to have to go with the Androa's Lash, because it was a huge surprise to me as to who it ended up being, who was Lash. I mean, I knew I had my theories. There was a bunch of people I had thought of, and that was not the one I was leaning towards. And I thought that was a good twist. The other two, I enjoyed them, but they felt muddled in other issues that made them less impactful to me than that one.
Right. How about you, Johnny Boy?
This one's simple. I'm just going with Andrew because it really the writing on Agents of Shield has it the bottom of the barrel for them is fared middling compared to all the badness that is in some of these other shows. The writers are awesome, and this was a complete surprise. Yeah, I don't think there were probably hints of it somewhere, but there were like hints that only like Sherlock Holmes would have seen. So I was very happy with that. That's got my vote.
All right. Well, there you have it. Andrew, we have the speaky here for you. If you promise not to rip out our hearts, we'll give it to you. But Ben is an inhuman. He has his mystical beard, so please don't kill
Damn it, you outed me.
him. Oh, wait. Ah, sorry, man. And
I guess
now.
I'll have to put a better shielding.
See, we even have bad banter on our award show. So now we have
You know, John, I have both of those categorized in the one above the ones you're writing.
Yeah, but those
we'll
particularly
mention
have to
them.
be called out.
So now the next prize is the MacGuffin, the worst
Right.
use of a convenient plot device or bad science. And we'll let John read the nominees this time.
Okay, so number one, I don't know if this one kind of qualifies, but because it's personified by a ring, I'll go with it. Jimmy Olsen's Superman get out of jail free card ring in Supergirl. That's number one. Number two, we have frozen laser beams in The Flash.
Because
Yes,
science.
that's right. You can freeze laser beams, apparently. Number three, time travel in The Flash. Because once you in, you know if unless you're Doctor Who, when you put time travel into things, it just gets really weird. For let's see, for number four, Arrow, Lazarus Pit fixes almost everyone. Actually, I would say fixes everyone because they just chuck somebody's like decayed body into it and she
I
came
know,
back to life. I
yes.
mean, I don't remember that ever being canon in any of the comic books.
No, not so much.
Okay, and in Supergirl, we have for number five, we have bad material physics. To which under which I have added two very specific instances. Number one, we have neck snap power line edition, because I didn't know that you could snap the neck of a power line and stop it from emitting electricity.
Sparking, yeah.
Yes, and then we have neck snap oil tanker edition, where apparently she was just pushed on the oil tanker too hard and snapped its neck right off, apparently.
Yep.
So, because that's the way tankers are built. You can just shear off a whole front end of them.
Right. They don't make them sturdy or anything for roughing the high seas or anything. That would just be
Yeah,
crazy.
I know. And that also goes towards the whole was it the whole comic book universe of somebody with very small hands can like hold up a multi-ton tanker or an airplane without their hands going through the very thin sheets of metal that those things are made
Right.
of.
Right. Ant-Man actually handled that particular type of issue a lot better because you saw, when he was small, he was piercing things that he would normally not punch through as easily because of his size.
Right, like the
Having.
tank did.
Exactly. Exactly like that. No, but.
No, like the tank. Yeah, anyway, so that those are our entries.
Right. I mean, frozen laser beams, we don't need to discuss.
No,
Because it was
it's too
just
much. It explains itself. Yes.
Right. Well, okay. So Dave, we all went first. I say, Dave, you go first. Go ahead. You.
Oh, pick my
Yeah.
favorite
Yes.
MacGuffin. Wow, it's tough.
Which one do you think was the worst thing that they did in amongst these shows?
Oh God, it's tough. I'm gonna have to go. Wow, it's a toss up between frozen lasers and the Lazarus Pit because the Lazarus Pit has been around for a long time in the Batman comics, but it was never like it could resurrect somebody who's been dead for a long time.
Now, can I ask? Let me ask you a question. Assuming you have more expertise in the Lazarus Pit than I do, has there ever been canon around someone being healed by the Lazarus Pit, then having this bloodlust to kill the person that wronged them?
Not that I remember. I
Yeah,
don't. I.
not as strong as not as strong as they present it in Arrow.
Yeah. Because
You
that
know,
is the thing that I think has driven it a little hard and heavy for
it's
me.
actually the canon in the comics is that
They go a little insane after a while.
right,
Right.
because Ra's al Ghul has been using it for so long, his he's losing his mind because he's been alive for so long. And it's not that he would use it when he died, he'd use it when he was near death, and it would
Yeah.
regenerate him, like
Right.
the Fountain of Youth, more or less.
Exactly. Yes.
Not a magical pool that brought people back to life.
But
Otherwise they'd be
he was
checking
going
bodies.
crazy for the same reason that Yellow Jacket was going crazy from exposure to Pym particles.
Right.
Yes, there
Because
you
they're the same.
Exactly.
Pym
So
particles
wait, the
bring
Lazarus Pit is full of Pym particles?
Yes, that's why you have so much shrinkage when you go in the Lazarus Pit.
You know, we weren't going to talk about that, Dave. I mean,
All right, come on, come on, come on. So what do you get? Which
I'm
one?
gonna go with the Lazarus Pit fixes everything.
Yay. Okay. Because you. I mean, along those lines, if that was really the way it worked, they wouldn't be worried about their minions getting killed. They'd be just chucking those ninjas back in every time one of them died. Anyway, okay. So Ben.
I don't know, those frozen laser beams really bugged me. I may have to go with that.
Okay, well that was simple. All right. Well, as for me then, so let's see, just quickly. Time travel, again, if you're not Doctor Who, you're not doing it right. Frozen laser beams, I some of my physics professors in college would have just they would have died seeing that. The Lazarus Pit thing made me literally utter my family battle cry at the TV when it happened. It was like, oh, come on.
That's
And
your
then,
family battle cry?
yes, that's my family battle cry. Oh, come on.
Oh, I thought it
So,
was,
but
where's the whiskey? Oh, sorry.
yeah, no, that's the my father's side. But the power of the when she snapped the neck of the power line, that just made me laugh and laugh and laugh. So I am just going to pick that one because that was just, I mean, I don't know what writer wrote that, but he must have been so drunk at the time, and I approve of that. So there you go.
But that made you happy. We're picking the worst thing.
Yes, I that is absolutely the worst thing that I could think of.
All right, well, we're stuck with a three-way tie here.
It was so bad, it made me laugh.
Maybe I'll change my vote to frozen laser beams so we can have a winner.
I'm okay with that.
All right, so
I'll stick with the neck snap power line edition, but I applaud you with your frozen laser beams.
yes, so there you have it. So, I don't know. We have to find the manufacturer of those lasers to give them the award.
Yes.
Because being able to invent lasers that are freezable, we applaud you. Thank you. Our
So
next award is just.
this is actually a good one, guys. This is best TV fight, known as the Kick Puncher Prize. By the way, if you know that reference, good on you. I'm not going to say what it
Okay.
I got it. I usually get it. In the end, go ahead.
So, all right, I'll read off the nominees here. So we have from one of our Netflix shows. Actually, all of these are from the Netflix shows because the Netflix shows rock and can do things with fights that no one else can seem to do. So we have Daredevil versus the Russian mob in towards the beginning, like the second episode of their first season. And then Jessica Jones versus Luke Cage because powers versus powers is awesome. And then also Jessica Jones and her sister Trish versus Will Travall in the epic apartment fight that ended with a refrigerator thrown on top of someone.
Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, and they're all great choices. Just I think just real quick to address the TV versus Netflix argument there, I think You can get away with a 15-minute fight sequence on a Netflix show, but I don't think you can get away with that on a TV show, like a straight, you know, long fight sequence like they have.
Yeah. I think it depends on how they do it. They actually had, in the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there was a pretty intense and epic fight sequence. There was multiple fights happening at the same time. It was May and Ward, and I think Deathlok, and what's his name? The Bill Paxton's character that they ended up getting killed off. All those various fights happening at the same time.
Was that in the first season?
Maybe it was the second season. I think but that it was not this season. Year, so it wouldn't really fit
right.
This year's prize. And I see John's adding a late edition.
Yes.
And that's actually a great addition. You're right. I missed that. So Agent Carter, it was Peggy versus Dottie, and that was a great fight because Dottie was insane and and gifted in her Red Room indoctrination.
And supposedly from the same outfit that trained Black Widow. So exactly, obviously exactly. She had.
Right. And so. And in the same case, by him adding his late entry, he's correcting me because that was on TV versus Netflix. And that was a nice long fight sequence.
There you go.
There you go. All righty then. Yes. And it's a, you know, it's a girl on girl fight. So it's always a good thing.
No, I was not going there. Damn it.
It is a girl on girl fight, but it is not your typical girl on girl fight at all.
No.
It was a epic fight in and of itself.
It was not a
Carter kicks ass.
It was not a slap and tickle. It was a, you know, and it was an actual brawl.
No, I mean, four of these have strengths.
Now that he mentions it, that is a definite fight that when I was watching it, I was wincing and like, you know, ooh, I could feel the hits. I mean, that was a very well choreographed.
Oh, yeah. When she picked up the bat, come on, you know, it's just like, right. She's like, all right, I've got this. And she, I don't know. All right. Who goes first?
You go first, John.
Fine. Daredevil versus the Russian mob. That was a fine, very long fight, very grueling.
Cinematography was really nice, but it, you know, it was a long. Personally, I will say the things I liked about that is the cinematography, you know, the framing of it. It made it seem like one long shot, mm-hmm. And the fact that one thing you don't see a lot in fights is exhaustion, and they showcase that well, like showing him constantly stopping and resting because what he was doing was tiring. And
the brutality of it, the sheer brutality of it.
And it is the scene that if somebody is on the fence about watching Daredevil, that's the scene you show them. And then they're sold and they go watch the whole series.
Yeah. I see. I'm torn because this is a really hard one because between there's that. And as you said, the cinematography on that and the framing of it and it was beautiful and disturbing, which was beautiful. But then you've got your power on power, Jessica Jones versus Luke Cage.
Right. He grabbed her through the wall.
Yeah. And then you've got amazing. Jessica Jones, Trish, and Will, and that was pretty damn brutal too.
Yeah.
And then you've got Agent Carter, which, you know, I added that one, but it just wasn't as it's got to be because Netflix, you know, it's very hard to get past the censors a really, really good fight.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Technically, I think I'm going to go with I'm going to go with the Daredevil one. Okay. Because of the brutality of it and the, like you said, showing how he had to try and catch his breath before the next guy tried. Although that did have that, you know, I'm surrounded by 100 ninjas, now you shall attack me one at a time thing going.
But they didn't, though. They attacked him multiple at a time. He just was able to keep up with their punches. And they were not very well organized.
Yeah.
Their fault wasn't, they did. I don't think they didn't come at him one at a time, but they also didn't come at him in an organized fashion. And he was able to use that to his advantage.
Hmm. Okay. So that's my pick.
All right.
Who's next?
Dave.
Damn it. It's a tough choice, gentlemen.
It is a tough choice.
Yes. I mean, cause again, if you were going to pick pure brutality of a fight, it would have to be Jessica Jones, Trish versus Will. That was the
Just
most.
property damage alone there was phenomenal.
Yeah. Just an insane fight. Like, I kind of feel like yes, the Luke Cage Jessica Jones fight, powers on powers was cool. But that was kind of more of a couple hits and run, couple hits and run, you know, and
Yeah,
then.
well, because you had that element of, Jessica was fighting Luke, but she didn't really want to be fighting Luke. She
Right.
was doing it reluctantly.
Where Jessica and Trish versus Will was a straight fight along the lines of the Daredevil versus the Russian mob fight, where it's this big long fight sequence that was very brutal. And it was a lot, yeah, it was a lot messier.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. And it ends with the fridge being, yeah, I'm gonna go with that. I'm going with Jessica and Trish versus Will, travel in
All right.
Travail, I'm sorry, in Jessica Jones.
So I am going to be the tiebreaker on this one. It is tough. It is a really tough call. And I'm going to limit myself to those two so we don't have a weird three-way tie situation. I loved
But we
the
like weird
Daredevil
three-way tie.
versus
I'm sorry.
I'm going to ignore that. I love the Daredevil fight scene. That was my first one when I created this category, the first go-to that came to my mind. But there was something about that Jessica Jones fight that was really, it was well orchestrated, it was brutal, it was all over the place. They were doing things that, like you, the same fight with non-powered people, it would have been, someone would have been dead.
Right.
And I felt that that was a good showcase for what they could do with what they had, and the twist where Trish ends up taking a red pill and smashing Will with the refrigerator. So I think I'm gonna have to go with that one.
All right. So, Jessica, your speaky is in the mail. We are sending it off to your alias investigations. Congratulations. Share it with your sister. That's important. Because she might take another red pill, and you know, we might have a cat fight on our hands. We don't want that.
We shall see.
Wait for Alley
You know
Hill.
what? I want to see Hellcat. I want to see that come to fruition. I think that would be a great expansion in the Jessica Jones universe.
I wasn't even going there, but you, there you go. That
I'm just
was a
saying,
brilliant
she can
transition.
suit up.
Yes.
I want to see her suit up. Anyway,
All right. Now,
so
now.
the next four prizes are somewhat related.
Yes. And of course, we'll start with the cape, worst hero. And if you can get the reference of the cape,
Yes, the cape
then we're
prize.
sorry. We're very, very sorry
No, we're
for having
not.
brought that back up to you. We're sure that your psychologist will be able to suppress those things again for you. It's just we had to make that reference.
So
The nominees are Oliver Queen, Arrow, Jim Gordon, Gotham, and Lance Hunter, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and pretty much anyone from Gotham.
yes. Now, I just have to ask, who added Lance Hunter to this list? I just want to
I
know.
added Lance Hunter to this list.
Okay. Because I love Lance. I think Hunter's great.
I
But
added, okay, because this is category of worst hero.
yeah, no, he is definitely an anti-hero all the way. He plays by the hip, he breaks all the rules. You're right. In that case, he does not make a good classical hero.
Right. And what sold it for me was when him and May were going after Ward, and he had the option of going after Ward or backing off because Andrew was surrounded by some of Ward's men. And of course, we didn't know he
We
was
didn't know
Lash.
Andrew was Lash at that point,
We
no.
didn't, right, exactly. And he said, "Nope, I'm going to still go after Ward
Right.
and put Andrew in danger of being killed." So, yeah,
Which in
that's just.
hindsight was the great decision.
Because he got lucky.
Yes. I'm just saying, he made the right call. Whether he knew the right reasons, he made the right call.
And
But
but then
go
Ward got
ahead.
away anyway. So it was,
Right.
yeah,
So
so
he did a bad job at that call.
right,
So
exactly. So that is why I added him to the list.
fair enough.
I mean, Jim Gordon is quite obvious on
Yes.
why he is on this list. We won't, you know.
I don't think we need to belabor that point. Gotham is Gotham. So,
But why did you add Mr. Queen to the list?
I just think he's. So, I like the show Arrow, but honestly, he does a really bad job at his job. He is. You know, so here's my thing. I see Arrow as the closest thing we're going to get to a real Batman show on television.
Okay.
And if that's to be the case, I want him to be a little bit more of a detective, be a little bit more, you know, thinking ahead or around his villains. And he is so far from that mark. He's just shooting into the wind and hitting however many bad guys he can. And it's very reactive. It's very, I just think that, yes, he's evolved over the seasons a bit, and he's embracing the more heroic archetype now as the Green Arrow. Don't even get me started on that whole presentation, but I just think that it was a long road, and he really still isn't that great of a hero. He's a good leader, but he's not a good hero.
He's the Green Arrow now, so we like him.
Yeah. Well, except also, for those people that are colorblind. But on the list, so. If you're colorblind, you can't tell.
Yes. There was also the factor that we needed more than one person on the list.
All righty. So, this time, you're picking first, John.
Oh, Jim Gordon, next.
I'll second that.
All righty. There you have.
Done.
I mean, we don't even need to discuss him.
No, it's just horrible writing. He'd make stupid decisions in that show.
Yes, he does. And without any foresight into the repercussions of the decisions he makes, and he keeps doing it.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, that's the overarching problem with the show in general. No one has any foresight or hindsight or reliance on experience for the things that they do. They're like toddlers.
They're like goldfish doing the same thing every day with no memory of what came before.
Yep.
And now the next category. Take it away, Ben.
So worst villain, or I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Jim, your speakeasy's in the mail, but I'm sure you'll never find it. Anyway.
Oh, I get what you did there.
How's the detective badge working for you, Jim? Okay.
So the nominees on this list, and I'm actually going to read them out of order for a reason. We have Ra's al Ghul from Arrow, the original. We have Red Tornado and General Lane from Supergirl. And from Gotham, we have Jerome, or the temporary Joker, Edward Nygma, and pretty much any other character on Gotham.
Wait a minute. I think we're missing somebody. We're missing Supergirl's aunt.
But okay. You can put her on the list, but I am going to disagree on that, because unlike the other Supergirl villains so far, she actually is somewhat nuanced.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but we're talking worst villain. She with a whole cadre of Kryptonians, she still hasn't taken over the planet yet. All they've done is attack one building.
But we don't know what their end game is.
But that's because, right, that's because they're showing that she is a nuanced character.
Does it matter?
Yes, it matters. That they're actually trying. Now, granted, I'm not a fan of how the show is being written. I think that there's definitely some work to be done there. But there's an effort. Like, and I was telling this to Dave recently, like, the last couple episodes I've watched, I've basically been in my head rewriting them, you know, as they go. Like, they could do the same exact episodes much better.
Yes.
Without changing the plot point, the main plot thread, they could write the show better. And, you know, with that in mind, I don't have a problem with Astra's overall bent, because she's not bent on global domination. That never was her MO. Even on Krypton, she wasn't really trying to take over. She was just trying to bring things to light that were being overlooked for the greater good. And I don't know 100% what her motives are in her Earthbound, you know, activities, but it doesn't seem like she's trying to be Zod, so to speak. It seems more like she's got something else more complicated going on.
Right. Yeah.
I completely disagree with that. But all right. But do you want me to go on, or you? I can take my turn.
Well, I think let's discuss the list in general. She's on the list, and that's my piece on her. Mm-hmm. I think we all know that the Gotham villains are just all horrible in general. the reason And the reason I added Ra's al Ghul to the list is just because the Ra's al Ghul we got is not the Ra's al Ghul we deserved.
No. No, I agree with that. Ra's al Ghul should have been able to, I mean, he was Batman's other side.
Right.
He could outthink everybody. He planned out centuries.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had resources you couldn't even imagine. And he blew it. He got his ticket punched. Like,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, there were hints at times that he had that, like early on, that he was that deep thought, that he was methodical, that he had the long game, you know, in his grasp. But then he just threw it all away, that it just let it crumble and started acting like an idiot.
Yep.
So the one that I added to the list was the Red Tornado / General Lane. And
right.
The reason...
Those are two different characters.
What?
Those are two different characters.
Well, but yes, right. But the reason I put them together is because, number one, I mean, we didn't do a worst episode, and that probably would have been the worst episode.
Yes, that would have been the worst episode, I agree.
Of 2015. Because, of course, they didn't give us the Red Tornado from the comics. They gave us an android that was being controlled by someone who was...
No, they gave us a puppet.
Right, a puppet.
What they really gave us.
Right, who was... being who was built under the direction of General Lane. And, you know, it was that whole one dimensional, you know, I'm driven because there's aliens on the planet and aliens are bad and I'm building robots to fight the aliens. And, right. And the guy who I hired to build this robot, you know, is out to prove he's the greatest inventor in the world. And
right, even though he failed at the one thing he was supposed to do, which was build an autonomous robot, instead he built a Kevlar couch cushion puppet.
Exactly. Yeah.
And besides that, when you're building a robot to battle aliens, you know, like tornadoes aren't the first thing you kind of come to mind when you decide what your robot's going to do.
Right.
It's like, of all the superpowers, you gave him the power of passing gas, right? It's just, you know, it's like, come on, man.
And we
get a rocket punch, for crying out loud, nukes. I don't care anything, yeah. But just, you know, blowing them around a lot. Come on.
I mean, and what's funny is some of the things I heard before the show came out, I mean, they had leaked the pictures of the Red Tornado, and there were people who were like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing the Red Tornado on TV, blah, blah, blah. So great. But then they gave us like the worst possible rendition of the character that they could have given us. And
well, he wasn't a character. He's a puppet, like you guys said.
Yeah.
Right. And not only that, like when it lost and it was quote unquote malfunctioning and it was headed into the city and they were afraid it was going to kill and destroy everything because it was in some kind of, you know, reboot mode or something like
because reasons,
like exactly like talk about bad plot points and
okay we've got like
it was
80
so
more
bad. Okay, all right,
we've got so much more to go on. We could do a whole show on just that. On that
Which
one
I
episode,
did.
We could do a whole show.
I totally expressed that to Dave, and he was like, well, how are we going to fit this into the award show? I was like, we're not. We'll do a Supergirl show later.
I agree.
We promise, guys. We promise we will tear down Supergirl bit by bit in a future episode.
And then General Lane, of course, is just your one track, one mind. I'm the army guy, and I'm here to help the world, and I don't care who I step on.
Right.
Which is that's such an old trope.
Authority and your authority, and do something that's totally against what the army would do.
Right, because I'm me, so that's why I put him on the list. So since I've beaten that to death, who am I going to pick as my worst villain?
That's okay, Dave. If you've beaten it to death, just throw it at the Lazarus pit. I'm sure that'll take care.
I am going to actually, though, even though I put those on the list, and obviously I'm very angry about that episode, I'm still going to pick Edward Nygma from Gotham because, my God, you know, let's take a character that people make fun of, the Riddler, and let's make him even worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the stalker, you know, boyfriend-killing weirdo that they made him into is just, I don't quite understand. Who thought these were good ideas, writing-wise?
I don't know. So that's my pick.
John?
Let's see. The non-Joker? Edward Nygma? Jeez. Okay, so they've made him basically this, like you said, a stalker. Red Tornado. Yeah, he might as well wear the Scream mask at this point. Red Tornado, Ra's al Ghul, pieced out like a bitch. Let's see, anyone else on Gotham? Well, basically the writers. I'd put the writers in here. And then
they'll have their comeuppance soon.
Sure. And then I'm sorry, but I am going to say Aunt Astra, because I don't care what your goal is. If you have a whole troop of Kryptonians, there literally is nothing you can't do. You know, I don't care if it's selling Girl Scout cookies.
Which is why they're not doing it, because they're not that evil.
Did you see her husband? Holy.
Well, he's evil. He's not. Yes. He's the guy who didn't talk in Superman 2.
Yeah, but they've been waiting for 5 years. If their goal was to save the human race from destroying the planet like Krypton did, they could have given us clean energy by now.
They're waiting for all the science to come in.
They're waiting to learn how to freeze lasers.
There's some outlying experts out there who don't think that the end is nigh, and so they're waiting for all that evidence to be solid.
I'm picking her, because it boggles the mind that they just waited, you know, half a decade with all of these Kryptonians, and they've just been sitting around going, yet? Nah, okay.
Yeah. All right, so I guess I'm tiebreaker here. If it were up to me, I would have picked someone else other than either of these two, personally. But
so I'm going to break your tie by overruling you. There you go.
I'm not. I will stick to. I will make this easier. I will stick to one of these two. Between the two, yes, I see some of your points, John, but I don't agree with all of them. Whereas Edward Nygma was one of the reasons I stopped watching Gotham. And so I kind of have to go with him.
Well, I'd argue with you, but that's a really good reason. So I will bow out on that one. That's okay.
All right, John, and now you can introduce our next category.
Our next category is, I like the name of this one, really. the name of this category is the Greatest American Hero Prize for Best Hero. And those of you that remember Greatest American Hero, and I'm not talking about Greatest American Heroine, then good for you. And also, I hope you remembered your heart medication today. So the entries we have are Peggy Carter from Marvel's Agent Carter, of course. Sky, Daisy, Tremors, Quake, that hot girl who's on that show, Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Matt Murdock from Daredevil, and Barry Allen from Flash. So let's see. Peggy Carter is a big best hero, best hero, best hero. I don't know. This is hard because Peggy Carter kicks ass and does it even without anybody recognizing, you know, her actual contribution, and she's still going strong and she gets shit done. Let's see. Sky, Daisy, Tremor. Yeah, Sky. I still like Sky. They don't put her on as much.
Well, it is an ensemble show. There's a lot that they're juggling there.
Yeah, but it used to be that hers were the eyes that we saw everything through, right, and it helped get used to it. But now that she's like been assimilated,
she's no longer the common man. Yeah.
Yeah. And then let's see, we've got Matt Murdock from Daredevil, which, you know, as long as we're not talking about the movie, then great. No. Because, you know, this one was much better.
We will never speak of the movie.
Yeah, no.
There was a movie?
Thank you, Netflix. And Barry Allen, yeah, the best hero. I want to go with Barry Allen because they got so lucky when they picked that actor. And
Grant Gustin?
Grant Gustin, yes. When they picked him, they picked the perfect guy. He's got the perfect personality. He's always upbeat. He's smiling. He's like he plays the character really, really well. That even when he's like depressed or getting beaten down, he's still got that kind of upbeat feel to him. And the hero itself, the writers have done very well with that. So, you know, they kept the Flash with, you know, with a little bit of snark on the side and still being a hero type rather than a whiny, oh wait, we're adding stuff. Okay,
that's don't worry about that.
Okay. So yeah, so I'm going with the Flash.
Okay. All right. I'm surprised actually. I didn't expect you to go that way. I will say, so I want to speak for Daisy. I think that she's had an interesting journey in the show, and I think in this past season she really has had a hero's journey, really come into her own and gained a degree of confidence that I think is worth note and worth recognition. Peggy Carter is constantly the hero. I think that, and if there's any of the shows that are coming, you know, to be airing soon, that's the one I'm looking forward to the most right now. That is my must-see TV amongst all of the returning shows in the next couple weeks.
I agree with you on that one too.
But you know, and I definitely feel that she is a great hero. I my vote is going to be Daisy.
Ah, okay. So I guess that leaves it to me to break the tie.
Yes.
All right. Well,
also trying to get some girl power in there.
Oh boy. Well, I like, okay, so Peggy Carter is I agree with everything you guys said, you know, and one of the things that makes the show so compelling is that, of course, we're doing this in a post World War II world where, you know, sexism is commonplace, and there's nothing that she can really do about it because that's just the way of the world is at that time. You know, like, she's looked at more somebody who should get coffee as opposed to somebody that can go out and do the job and somebody that's a hero. And yet, like you guys said, she does it despite that.
Well, getting the coffee, she does foil two or three, you know,
right.
Bad
she plays
guy
that
bots
with grace and a lot of the time too. She doesn't react the way, say, you know, a woman who was faced with that in today's world would. She faces it, you know, with that 40s style and panache of just taking it with grace and then showing everyone up with action.
Right, right. Of course, on the flip side, we have Barry Allen, Flash, portrayed by the great Grant Gustin, as John pointed out. And to me, the thing that I think I love about the character the most in the show is, without, you know, taking anything from the comics, in my mind, what they've given us on The Flash on TV is the closest thing we're going to get to a Spider-Man live-action TV show.
you See, know, that's why they need to change the show.
He
needs spider powers.
Well, he's driven by the death of a parent, you know, just like, you know,
every other superhero in the Marvel universe.
Right. Well, Peter's driven by the death of Uncle Ben. He's driven by the death of his mother, trying to solve the mystery and right, you know, his father's wrong. he definitely very much took a hero's journey in season one. Just like just like Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you know, I don't know. There's something about him as an actor and as a character where it's just like, you know, when he's happy, you're happy. So, man, it's my favorite show. It really is. So I'm gonna have to go with Flash.
Okay.
Sorry, Ben.
It's okay.
We took well, away. I will say Peggy Carter is my second. I mean, because she really does kick ass.
We took away your girl power.
For now.
And if we can ever catch you, Barry, we'll hand you your award. We're chasing after you, but we just can't catch you. So slow down a little.
Very good. Very good.
Resistance is futile.
Yes. This is the
Here's
best
our next
villain prize.
Category.
Yes. Prize for the best villain. Oh, wait. And the nominees are Kilgrave, Marvel's Jessica Jones, Manny from Constantine, Kingpin from Daredevil, Harrison Wells / Eobard Thawne or the Reverse Flash from The Flash, Captain Cold from The Flash, Dottie from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What?
We have a couple of last minute entries here, people.
I see the flaw now in having a living Google Doc as the
Supergirl, all of the writers from Gotham, and of course Hans Zimmer.
Yes.
I just can't stop.
I originally was going to put Hans Zimmer on this list.
Thank you, Dave.
I was going to put him on the worst villain list, actually, but
I knew you guys.
That's
were
a better
my
place
friends.
For him. Yes. So I think this is a tough list. And first of all, I put one on here that I don't think either of you really have a frame of reference for, because I don't think either of you watched Constantine.
Yeah, we're the reason it's off the air. I know.
I did. I watched Constantine.
To the end?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you know what I'm talking about then with Manny.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't really resolve it, but yeah, I know about right. that.
No, I thought, but because I thought that, so I will say he fits into a similar category as Harrison Wells in that they were both villains that you did not see as villains necessarily for the entirety of the season. Manny, especially so. Manny was a reveal, like you thought he was an ally to John Constantine the entire season. And didn't find out about his alter allegiance until literally the finale, the last moments of the first season. And that was a twist that I did not see coming. Similarly, with Harrison Wells, we did know, you know, fairly early on that he was not on the level, that he was not everything he seemed to be. But Barry and the rest of the team saw him as an ally and confidant. And that was, I think, very well played. And that's something you don't often see well played with a villain character.
Okay. Dan, anyway, your choice.
Well, I think we should talk about them a little bit, at least.
Right.
Captain Cold, I just find an interesting villain because he's not your typical villain. Yes, he is a criminal. Yes, he has, you know, is motivated to, he has a background and things like that, but he's not, you know, a criminal for criminal's sake. He's not a villain for villain's sake. He has his own motives, and he's willing to skirt that gray line as it suits him. And I like that about him. We talked about Dottie earlier. She was just insanely both crazy and villainous. And Kingpin and Kilgrave were both very well done in their respective series. If I had to pick one, though, I would have to pick Kilgrave, just because I think that David Tennant, first of all, is awesome, and he, and the way and the writing for his part was spectacular, because he started off as this ominous character. You didn't know anything about him other than he was to be feared, and then they introduce him and they chip away at it. It was like, oh, well, he's narcissistic and he's villainous. You know, he's got these motives, but you kind of start to relate to him. You kind of start to see that he feels that he's rationalized and justified these things. And you know, you almost feel bad that he ends up having to be taken out in the end.
I think we know why you would relate to a villain, Ben.
Oh, yes. Epic beards.
Epic beards. Okay. I guess I'll talk now.
sure.
I could talk now.
So yeah, I mean, the thing with Captain Cold is, you know, they've decided to make him a hero. He's going to be on Legends of Tomorrow. So we'll see where that goes. But, with the like both of the villains on both the Marvel Netflix series, were so insanely well written, it's scary. And not only that, they were both insanely well acted as well. Like, you know, not only do you feel bad, I won't say you feel bad for Kilgrave, you understand Kilgrave by the time of the end of the series. You almost do feel bad for Kingpin by the end of the season, you know?
Yeah, they definitely drummed up sympathy for him as well.
Where, you know, he's doing it to save the city. You know, it's he right. has not
he's on the same mission as as Matt Murdock, essentially.
Right. So right, and there was a duality to the show, and that's, you know, a duality to those two characters, which was well written. And you know, if I was going to have to, I would, but again, I would have to give the advantage to Kilgrave, because my God, did David Tennant do a great job of creeping people out. And that's exactly what that character should be doing, you know, and I didn't know he had in him. So I'm going to have to pick Hans Zimmer. I mean,
You do care, Dave. You really do care.
No, of course, I'm going to pick Kilgrave from Jessica Jones.
And John?
All right. Let's see. Captain Cold, well, I've seen the reviews for Legends, so you know there's that. Look, it looks like Captain Cold still has a warm heart.
And a gun that defies physics.
Yes.
Yes. Harrison Wells played that really well. But one of the problems I have with your standard villain type is no matter how well it was played, and you know, normally I would pick him, he's predictable. He's, you know, you know what he's going to do. He does the whole, you know, walking away while, you know, cackling evilly and that sort of thing. I mean, it just, there, the thing that scares people the most is the thing that they don't know is coming.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, like when Manny turned, it was like I was waiting for Shyamalan to jump on and go, "What a twist." So, you know, I just, you know, that again, he might turn out to be a, well, he may have turned out to be a good one if they had like continued. Yeah. But I wouldn't pick him. Kilgrave, if you were in the same room with him, you would have no freaking idea what would happen. You'd know that your life is in danger, but you wouldn't know how, when, where. That's what scares people the most. He's completely unpredictable. And he may walk by you and say, "Well, see you later," and just leave you alone. And then 3 days later, your dog might be dead. You just don't know. That is what's really, really, really scary. And I think the way, and of course, you know, with David Tennant, it was played incredibly well. So that's my pick.
So we're unanimous on that one. Nice.
Cool.
So the next prize, which was named after a word that I coined this year.
Yes.
The Gothemic Prize, or the worst TV show of 2015. And the nominees, Supergirl, Gotham, Supergirl, Arrow, and of course Supergirl.
You know, John.
John has way too much fun with this.
Supergirl is bad, but I don't know if I share your intense hate for it. I think Gotham is 10 times worse than Supergirl. But anyway,
well, if I had my druthers, I would retroactively give Gotham the Gothamic Prize for 2014, so that we could reserve that the 2015 spot for Supergirl.
Well, if I had my druthers, I'd wonder which leg to put in first, because I don't know what druthers are.
Oh, John.
So right. What are you picking?
Just because it's hard for me to pick Gotham because I stopped watching it. Like, what I saw of Gotham in 2015, which would be the second half of the first season, was truly horrific. And I was hate watching it episode by episode. So it really, I feel mixed on it because it definitely deserves a prize for what I saw, but I didn't see everything. I haven't watched any of this season. So I feel underinformed in making that call. But at the same time with Supergirl, while I definitely have a lot of animosity for the writing, there are still factors to it that I like, and Gotham didn't have that. Gotham didn't have any redeeming qualities at all, and so I kind of am leaning, I have to lean towards Gotham.
Yes, and I agree 100%. Supergirl still seems to have potential. There are moments on the show that I like. There are moments that are done well, and there's are a lot of moments where, you know, she breaks the neck of power lines. but it has potential. I mean, she could end up on this list for next year. So
right, you have to keep that in mind. That this show, there's a whole half of a season yet, and I think they've probably already been renewed for season two. So it's a very good chance that Supergirl will end up on the 2016 award list for the Gothamic Prize.
Right. So I'm voting for Gotham. So that just leaves you, John. But we know who you're voting for.
Well, first I want to say that yes, it is super. No, So the writers for Supergirl, they had a chance to do one of the best shows on TV. This is not what they did.
No.
They right. took option B and then accidentally walked through door C into this, you know, pit where Satan has his writers and thought that was what they were supposed to do. So it just, but here's the difference. I can sit down, turn on an episode of Supergirl and watch it, and I might even get through the entire thing and say, you know what, that wasn't too bad. Every time I sit down and turn on Gotham and watch for 15 minutes, I wind up having to turn it off. There's just not one time that I can find where I turn it on and it actually becomes engaging without me going, oh God, detectives never would have done that. Oh God, why would the writers do that? Oh God, what, the Joker again? I can't. So I'm actually going to go with Gotham for now. Next year, without Gotham, we'll still have
a bullseye on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Supergirl's got a bullseye on her back, and she's got to shape up or ship out.
Yep.
All right. So to the entire people of the city of Gotham, congratulations.
You are the worst.
You are the worst.
So the next prize is the sleeper hit, or the best underrated show of 2015, which we have titled the Shh Prize.
Or the shows you aren't watching.
Right. Some of us are watching some of them.
Yes.
which is why they're still on the air. And surprisingly, so all of the ones we put on this, except for Constantine, are decidedly not really superhero shows, but they're sci-fi genre shows. Enough that we felt it was worth mentioning and that our respective listeners probably would care about these shows. And those nominees are, I mentioned Constantine, Mr. Robot, Orphan Black, and Dark Matter. And so Mr. Robot is a new show in this past year on USA, I believe.
Yes.
Basically around a security expert by day, hacker by night, with some interesting personality conflicts.
He has a social anxiety, you know, he can't be around people, you know.
Right.
Elliot, in some ways he kind of comes off as your stereotypical guy with Asperger's who is a programmer.
Right.
In other ways, you know.
I find he vacillates between can recall times where I was that shy and awkward to God say something to somebody.
Right. Before, right.
Like those are the extremes of Elliot. And I find that very fascinating. Like he plays the part incredibly well. And I actually feel that the actor, Rami Malek.
Malek. Yeah.
Would be an awesome choice for if they ever were to do a Boba Fett anthology movie. I think he could play that part well.
Huh, I could see that, yes. And of course, the other main character in the show is Mr. Robot himself, who's the
Christian Slater.
Who's played by Christian Slater. And come on.
He's basically Christian Slater, though. Like, that's his part. He is Christian Slater.
Right, but it's Christian Slater. I mean, you can't go wrong.
No, yeah, absolutely.
And it's a group that's kind of like the anonymous group in real life. S-Society.
They have their own version of, they're not Guy Fawkes masks, but they have some other, like, it's a creepy Mr. Monopoly mask or something like that.
Right. And, you know, they have a plan to wipe out everyone's credit or everyone's debt. And
they have a club that we shall not talk about. They have rules about these things.
Yes, of course. You know, which also kind of brings up those kinds of social questions, you know, if you could do something like that, should you, would you, you know, and it's a show that I don't think you need to be a developer or someone who's in that world to enjoy it, you know, I mean, cause it's not like I don't think they overdo the techno babble or anything like that. But of course it takes place in that world, you know. But it's also one of those shows where like, I ask people, have you seen Mr. Robot? I'm like, no, what's that? You know? So that's the reason I put it on the list. I know it did well and they have a season two that's coming out, but
no, definitely it's been critically acclaimed, but the numbers are, You know, it doesn't have the numbers of a huge hit necessarily. It's
Right.
a it's a it's got a groundswell though. It's getting there. Similarly, Orphan Black falls in that same sort of category in that it's a BBC America original show. You know, it's produced in Canada, and it's very few people know about it, but it is an amazing show, and especially the lead actress, Tatiana Maslany. First of all, she literally plays at least seven or eight different characters on the show because it's a show about clones. So
Right.
she's the main character, and she's a bunch of other supporting characters, as all these different, what, you know, quote unquote sisters, you know, clones of herself that have all led different independent lives and are just finding out about each other, at this adult stage and finding out about the conspiracies behind their existence, and the people who want to use them to their own means. And it's just been, it's finished its third season, it's going into its fourth, and it has been a great show every episode through it. Like, there has never been a dull moment, and as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and with for that show, you have to remember that the actress Tatiana, the job that she does, playing all of these different personalities and their nuances, the woman must have multiple personality disorder.
Yes.
She has to, because she's just
Honestly,
way too good at it.
I forget sometimes that they're the same actress.
Exactly.
Like there are characters that she plays that I love, and there are characters I play that I hate because I'm supposed to. And like I always forget. It's like I tend to forget sometimes, like, oh wait a minute, that's still her. Like, 'cause I was listening to there's actually a Orphan Black podcast called Clone Cast, where they talk about the show, and they've also had people like actors from the show on the podcast. And they had the guy who played Donnie, the husband of the anal suburban housewife, and talking about like how much fun they have sometimes playing and riffing and doing things like that. You know, him and Tatiana. I was like, wait. And my first thought was, wait, he doesn't have that many scenes with Tatiana. Oh, wait a minute. All of his scenes are with Tatiana.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Because it's the same woman.
Yes, and from everything I've heard, it's the best show on TV I haven't seen.
Yes, you have to watch it, Dave. You're the
So
reason
I
it's
hear
asleep, Dave.
I hear the same thing about Mr. Robot, so
Yes.
And of course, I'm the reason Constantine isn't on the air anymore.
Yes. It's a sad thing. It was a good show. It was a good season. It's unfortunate that it didn't survive.
And I see this last one. I have never even heard of Dark Matter.
I've heard of it, but I have not seen it. And I know that John added that one to the list.
Well, we'll just say that the very first episode starts with a bunch of people in cryosleep waking up with no memory of who they are or why they're on the ship.
Okay.
And it goes from
It
there.
just gets weirder from there.
Oh, it gets really weird. And it's
Yeah.
but not like not sci-fi weird. It's really good writing, actually.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that they keep figuring out about themselves, and ultimately trying to find out why their memories were wiped and where they went and who they were before. But it's a really good show, and the actors and actresses are playing it incredibly well.
Yeah.
So I power watched the first season, and I just swept right through it because it was just that good.
Okay,
Yeah, I'm gonna have to
so
add that to my list.
and it is on what channel, John?
Netflix,
Okay.
which apparently
That's
is a
making it
channel
easy.
these days.
Yes, pretty much. All right, so given all of that,
And actually, wait a minute, hold on.
well,
I
okay.
just found the Wikipedia page, and Dark Matter is based on a comic book series. So it
Oh,
fits into our category. It fits
double
into that.
win.
There you go.
Sweet.
Excellent.
It's all good. So, if I could make a suggestion, in my mind, the prize in this category.
Goes to Lost Girl?
No! God! Oh, God. Don't! I tried to like that show. I really did. But it was. Oh. I'll get into that another day. No. No. So, what I was going to say is, I think, since these are all very good, very great shows that all have their own merits, I think the prize should go to all of them. I think this should be a four-way tie.
Yes.
And just leave it at that.
You know what? That is awesome. I go with that too.
Yes. And you know what? To our listeners, if any of you have watched the show, these shows, enjoy them, let us know. You know,
give
us
or if you feedback. Want to add another one,
right? And we'll if you're interested in these, we'll talk about them more because we're definitely watching them. We just haven't really addressed them right. that much on our show.
Just tweet at us hashtag best shows you aren't watching and tell us what you're watching that we haven't seen.
Just Absolutely. Wait until I get to the third season of Elementary because it's taking me a while to go through that when there's like 23 episodes and everyone's so 13. So
you know there's a much better Sherlock show out there.
Actually, no, I think Elementary is actually better. I hate to say it. I think it's better.
All right. Okay. I'm going to need to get your address.
All right. Calm down, guys.
Well, only because it doesn't treat women like a background. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, in fairness, so did the books.
John likes any show that has a hot Asian chick in it. Anyway,
that is not true at all.
There are some.
I don't like any show. I like all shows that have a hot.
So here we
only have two more categories to go,
and we've been on a long time, guys.
Yes. So the next prize, which we should not have any difficulties coming up with a winner here, is Best in Show, which is the best returning TV show of 2015. And we only have two, which means there should be no three-way ties. So don't you dare, John. I'm not even going to mention that one. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Flash. Nope, not going to say it, John. Not going to
read it. It involves a young lass who can't find her way.
No, she finds her way a lot of places.
Yeah, okay.
All right. We these shows don't need to be talked to death.
We just have to come up with our choices. So, Dave, what's your favorite amongst those two?
I'm going to have to give it to Flash. Again, it's my favorite show on TV right now. Agents being my close second. It loses a little bit because I think they drug the Ward thing out way too long. And the fact that they killed him but didn't kill him is a little bothersome. So, yeah.
Flash. Well, that they did it so quickly. I mean, you expect, okay, they killed him, so we don't see him for at least a couple of episodes. But, like, geez, you know, the trailer for the next.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go against you on that one and go with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just because between the two shows, I found there were much, much fewer points where I found plot holes or flaws in the writing with Agents compared to Flash. So between the two, I have to give it to Agents.
Okay.
So John, you're the tiebreaker. You're the and type. If you say Lost Girl, I am going to find you and I'm going to punch you.
Well, look, okay. So the Flash has the writers have given that show heart. That's the only way to explain it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like that one. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't care. They keep saying that you have to go four quadrant on these shows in order to make keep them going and to make them successful. And yet that show is successful. It may not have like 100 million viewers, but it's written so freaking well. And the plot line is so intricate. And there's so many things going on that, you know, it's just such an intelligently written show. That that's why I'd go with that one. So in the end, you know what? I can't decide between the two.
Oh,
no, seriously. I can't.
I understand. I mean,
at least I don't have Gotham to say I don't choose that one. So I'd go with both of them because it just, they have their different reasons or I have a bit different reasons for each one, but they're just, they're both so good at this point.
All right.
You have to pick one, John. Come on. Which one has the hot Asian chick? We know.
Technically, don't they both have hot Asian Damn chicks? Isn't that a reporter kind of part Asian? Well,
okay, you know what? In the end, fine. We'll go DC with Flash because they finally did one thing right. One damn thing. There we go.
All right.
I say get the guys who are doing the Flash and put them in charge of the rest of the movies.
You mean TV
Anyway,
shows?
We have one last category, and this is the straight to the front of the Clash prize for best new TV show of 2015. And unfortunately, DC had zero entries in this category. I mean, they had tried, but I'm tough. We have Marvel's Daredevil, we have Marvel's Agent Carter, and we have Marvel's Jessica Jones. And John, I'm going to revoke your editing access to this document.
No!
So,
people can't see what you're typing.
I know.
So they don't know what we're laughing at.
No, we just sound like idiots.
My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. Anyway.
I should have put that one under Best in Show. Damn it.
Yeah. Well, you did. That's where it is. But yes, I will admit, Girl Meets World is a new show this year, but it doesn't really fit our category, John.
No.
Although Disney owns Marvel, so it's not far. and it definitely is. There's science fiction going on there somewhere.
Well, they may give one of them superpowers.
So, anyway, so between those three Marvel shows, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Agent Carter, John, what do you think? Which one would be your pick for best new show?
You know, overall, I liked how gritty Jessica Jones was, and I liked the direction that they took the Kingpin in, and how little of Ben Affleck there was in Marvel's Daredevil.
So surprisingly little.
So, yeah. Right. But although I could have used more Elektra, but you know,
you'll get that next season.
But Agent Carter is just like a very fun ride the whole way. There's like at no point are you ever worried that the TV is still on and it's reaching your eye holes, to put it in Ben's parlance.
Yes.
So I'm going with Agent Carter.
Okay. Dave, why don't you go second this time?
All right. Yes. My eye holes get the most enjoyment, I believe. Yeah. I mean, the John's points again are spot on. Jessica Jones and Daredevil were both great written shows. And they're going to come back again, but like, they were gritty and dark and they aren't as much of a fun ride as Agent Carter is. And as we've said a couple times, the writing on that show is brilliant. You know, they given us some great fight scenes and it's just well done. And, so yeah.
And that's not to say the grit is bad. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying by any means that you shouldn't watch Daredevil and Jessica Jones. It's just that there's a difference between, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. When you're sitting down watching Agent Carter, you're sitting down with the popcorn and the soda and going, this is going to be fun. When you're sitting down with Jessica Jones, there are going to be points where you're like, oh, God, the body had no head, or, you know, it's just there's some cringe parts, and not cringe in a bad way, but yeah. So, you know, that's why.
All right. So
you both chose Agent Carter?
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess there's no point in going another direction. I will say, you're right. I agree with whatever both of you are saying. Daredevil was great. I thought it was an excellent first foray, first season. My only argument I could have with that is the costume that they presented at the end needs a little bit of refinement. It looked a little bit weird. Jessica Jones, again, great, but it did have that grittiness that did not make it, you know, popcorn entertainment every moment. Whereas Agent Carter was that. Agent Carter is brilliantly done. And I will say one thing that all of these Marvel shows are doing, you know, which is why I think all of them fit on these lists of both best returning shows and best new shows, is Marvel, you know, basically by doing what DC was too chicken to do, by tying one hand behind their back and saying, we are going to maintain continuity across all of our properties with this stuff. You know, they basically pigeonholed themselves into doing, you know, of having to have little to work with, having less to work with in these properties than the DC properties can do. Like, they're just dealing with weird, you know, weird licensing issues for timing, but can do whatever the hell they want because they don't have to fit into the movieverse. Whereas, Marvel saying, nope, we're going to fit it all together and we're going to make it look great and we're going to show you how you make a continuous universe, and they've done that job. So and yeah, amongst those, Agent Carter has done a spectacular job at entertaining, you know, episode after episode. There's not a bad one amongst them.
I'm sorry, Ben, I was goofing off. Could you repeat that,
please? I know you were. No, I'm not making a damn word of it. Not a word.
Oh my god.
You'll just have to listen to this episode, John.
We need to take this document and print it with the with the show.
We'll put this, yeah, this I think Dave can copy and paste this into the show notes for this episode.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Print it out as a PDF or whatever. It just needs to go up, but don't change anything on it.
Nope.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it.
Your 2015 speakeasies.
Your 2015 television. TV speakeasies. So thank you for listening. We know this was a long one, but we hope you enjoyed our craziness. Wow, I just love doing this with these two guys. They make me laugh. So again, thank you for listening. And if you have anything you would like to add, think we got anything wrong, think we got anything right, you know, you can always contact us through our Twitter, you know, hashtag 2015 speakies, and let us know how spot on Ben or John were and how off I was.
I think it's the other way around, but oh well.
And there's also always our Facebook page and various other, or you can email us directly and say you were an idiot.
Yes,
I'm not Stevie, naming John. I'm not thinking? Naming John's there. I mean names.
You can always reach John at john@superheroespeak.com, or Ben at ben@superheroespeak.com, and me at God. I mean Dave at superheroespeak.com.
I'd imagine God would work too.
Yes. No. I didn't set that one up. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.